Christmas is a time of miracles. Twinkling lights transform the dreary darkness of the winter night as people decorate their houses with outdoor lights that other people, unknown people, drive by and see. A spirit of generosity compels donations to the Christmas Bureau, the Salvation Army, from people who might not otherwise give a passing thought to the poor. And even the Scrooges among us can usually be coaxed into a smile by a cheery Merry Christmas from a complete stranger. But as believers, we know the source of these miracles, for we know the greatest miracle of all. The King of the universe, the immortal, the invisible, the only wise God, came and dwelt with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. We know too that this event changed and continues to change the world forever. The birth story of Jesus, as told to us by the gospel writer Luke, begins with the visit of the angel Gabriel to the woman Mary, a working class woman who was engaged to be married to Joseph the carpenter. Now, Joseph had a pretty prestigious lineage. He was from the tribe of Judah, and his ancestors went all the way back to Israel's most famous king, King David. And Luke traces the genealogy even further back than that, traces it back to Abraham, to Noah, to Adam, and to God himself. And Mary probably shared this lineage, although she may have been of the priestly line, as was her cousin Elizabeth. The story takes place in an Israel that was occupied by the Romans. It was under the control of the Roman Empire. And indeed, Israel had been under the control of one foreign power or another for most of the last 500 or 600 years. Throughout all the difficult times, though, the Hebrew people clung to the promises God had made for them, that he would liberate his people from tyranny and that he would establish his reign forever. And so, in this time and in this place, God became human and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh in the womb of Mary, the person God chose to be Theotokos, the God-bearer. We know little of Mary's life before this, but Scripture does tell us she had found favor with God. He was pleased with her. She must have been astounded by the angel's announcement, but all she's recorded as saying is, "How can I have a son when I'm a virgin?" But then she said yes, an unequivocal yes. "Yes, I believe you can do this. Yes, I trust you. Yes, I will be part of your redeeming work." Luke records her actual words as, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Right after Mary's encounter with the angel, she hurried off to see her cousin Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah. I'm sure she was excited, bewildered, and needed another woman to talk to about all these things that were taking place. Elizabeth was in the midst of an unexpected, miraculous pregnancy herself. She was 6 months pregnant in her old age, and she was going to bear a son. That son, we know, would be John, who would go before and prepare the way for Jesus. When Mary entered Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth felt this jolt as the child within her leapt joyously. Then the Holy Spirit came on her and she uttered the words that God gave her. She said to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me that the mother of my Lord has come to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she that believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Mary was a little overwhelmed at this greeting, but she realized that she was carrying this special child, a child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, a child who would change her life completely, a child who would change the course of world history. unable to contain her joy and amazement, and in the grip of the same Holy Spirit, she spoke into life the beautiful song of praise to God that we have come to know as Mary's song, or the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. At times when we are surprised by God, or we waken to a new experience of Him, sometimes even momentarily His light pierces our darkness, and our only response can be worship, praise and gratitude for our marvelous God and for His all-encompassing love for us and for the world. Can any words express this better than Mary's? My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Praise bubbling up from within us because of God's graciousness to us. Mary, in her humility, realized that God's choice of her for this great honor, to bear the child of God, was not due to anything she had achieved on her own, but was the result of God's action in her life. Because, as she said, He has looked on the lowliness of His servant with favor. Clearly, we see God's choices are not the same as our choices. Where would we have looked for the Theotokos, the God-bearer? Would we have looked in palaces or in the homes of the rich and famous? But God looks at the secret places of the heart and out of our everyday loving obedience to His word. Because of what God did for her and because of her unhesitating yes to her, Mary was able to say those well-known words, "All generations will call me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." Notice the tenses here. He has done great things. He is holy. I will be remembered as being blessed. Past, present, and future, the continuing activity of our God in the world. And furthermore, the song continues, His mercy extends to others as well, to those who fear Him from generation to generation. I was reading about this word fear, and one of the sources said that fear is a gift from God that brings us with respect and awe into His presence and sends us out to do whatever He asks us to do, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be people who demonstrate what God's kingdom just might look like. What the world needed back then in the first century and what we still need today is restoration, transformation. Jonathan Wilson, the Carey theologian, talks of this in terms of putting the world back right side up, putting things back the way God intended them to be. Mary, a member of a subjugated people, would have longed for God to put things right, to free her people from the Romans and bring justice and peace to her homeland, Israel. The birth of Jesus would be a visible sign of the inbreaking of God's kingdom. God was acting in history to bring healing and reconciliation. As Mary continues her song, she uses past, future language that is very common in prophecy. She says, "He has shown strength. He has scattered. He has brought down. He has lifted up. He has filled. He has sent away. And He has helped." These are descriptions of what Jesus will do, but using the past tense shows the certainty of her faith. She is so absolutely convinced about God, about what God will do, that she speaks as if it has already been accomplished. Imagine, she says, that pride, the root of so many of our problems, is overturned. No more will we hear the voice of pride say, "I and I alone am strong enough, smart enough, rich enough, resourceful enough to make my plans succeed. I can do it by myself." Instead, we will hear people say, Only with the help of my God, with his strength will I proceed, for without him I can do no good thing. Where once the socially powerful lorded over the lordly, the lowly and insignificant, everyone will work together to usher in the kingdom. The rich will give generously so that no one is hungry. And so the liberation that Jesus brings will save the downtrodden from oppression and want, but will free those with influence and property from their pride and greed and thirsting after power. This is not the kingdom of the status quo. We are invited right now, this Christmas, to be kingdom people, living in the tension of the now and not yet, for God's rule has surely come, but is still coming in the fullness of time. For us in this church, we talk about seeking the peace and well-being of the city, and he calls us to feed the hungry, advocate for justice, elect to office principled and decent people, and also to welcome into our church the lost and the lonely, to affirm and support those who are in pain, to love each other as we try to be the body of Christ in this place at this time. The final stanza of Mary's song paints a panoramic picture of the whole of salvation history. It reads, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." God's mercy towards his people, and his special mercy, the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, is not an emergency measure instituted as the last resort of a desperate God. He has always been active in saving his people. He clothed Adam and Eve. He preserved Noah. He rescued his people and brought them out of Egypt. He sent priests to minister, kings to lead, prophets to warn and guide. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and always. We have the unshakable assurance that this God, who spoke the world into existence, the God who sent his Son that first Christmas, will be faithful to all his promises to us. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned to her home. Life carried on for her, different in many ways, but similar in others. But because she trusted God and assented to his presence within her, the Savior of the world was born. We remember that she was blessed by God and that her response was this joyful song that we still sing today. We recognize in Mary's song echoes of previous songs sung by other pious women at important points in Israel's history. And we are reminded that though our world is upside down and inside out, our God continues to put things right and to redeem his people. And toward this end, our mighty God invites us to be a part in building the kingdom. Ponder, turn over in your mind this Magnificat, this song of Mary. Ponder for a while, and you will grasp more clearly the great love that God has for his people. But let the music of this song slowly wash over you, its melody so ancient, yet always new. And just perhaps your heart will be touched by the Christ child, the miracle of Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. And you will sing as Mary sang, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Amen.